Today, we will focus on our special topic, which to me is so important. But before I talk about our topic today, I want to ask you a question. If somebody were to ask you, what is the purpose of your life? What will you say? Why are you alive? You'll be surprised. Many people don't even know the reason of their life. They have no purpose. For some people, they have purpose. Their purpose can be, I want pleasure. They live for pleasure. They live for computer games. They live for sex. That's their purpose in life. For some people, it's money. Everything they do is to make more money. They'll never be satisfied. That's their purpose. For some people, it's power, popularity. That is what drives them. I live to be popular. What about you? What do you live for? Can I tell you, today, we are going to talk about the purpose God has in mind for you and for me. But before I do that, I want you to know the context of what I'm going to talk about. Do you recall the past few Sundays, what we've been discussing? It's about the Beatitudes, remember? Blessed, blessed. How many principles are there? How many secrets are there to real happiness according to Jesus? Eight of them, remember? What are the eight? Number one, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. What is Jesus talking about? Deep, deep humility. Brokenness. Acknowledging your need. Brokenness. Number two, blessed are those who mourn. You are able to repent of your sins. Some people, they don't ever repent. They don't show repentance. They don't admit their mistakes. You are not going to really be happy unless you understand true repentance. Blessed are the meek. Some people will always insist that they are correct. They insist their will. But the Bible says, blessed are the meek. You are willing to surrender your will. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Remember? You are truly happy if you thirst and long for righteousness. And the Bible tells us, blessed are the merciful. If you show kindness to people because you have received mercy, that's the secret to real happiness. And then the Bible tells us, according to Jesus, blessed are the pure in heart. Friends, you can never truly be happy apart from holiness, apart from purity. It does not exist. Happiness apart from purity, apart from God, does not exist. Blessed are the peacemakers. Remember when I gave this message, are you a troublemaker or are you a peacemaker? Be a peacemaker. And then the Bible tells us, blessed are the persecuted. Because when you walk with the Lord, you may be persecuted and you will be persecuted. Based on those eight principles, Jesus gave us the purpose of life. Why should you practice all the eight principles? It's called Christ-likeness. Can I tell you why? Because the purpose of life. Today, I'm going to tell you now the purpose of life. Everybody, let's read together the purpose of life. Please read. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. The Bible tells us, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. He tells us, you are to be the salt of the earth. You are to be the light of the world. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, what is our purpose? Be salt and light. One more time. What's the purpose of life? Be salt and light for Jesus. Live out God's purpose. Why is purpose so important? Let me tell you why it is so important. Somebody once said, without purpose, you are like a boat. You are like a sailboat on the water. No rudder. Some people don't have any purpose. Purpose is crucial. Somebody once said, Rick Warren said, the greatest tragedy in life is life without a purpose. It's a tragedy. If you don't know your purpose, I'm going to paraphrase now my own version. Having a wrong purpose is worse. Let me repeat. A life without a purpose is bad. But having a wrong purpose is equally bad. It can be worse. Here was a son who wanted to really make his mother so happy. It was the mother's birthday. So he bought a very expensive bird. That bird can speak 4,000 words. That bird can sing. He was so excited, he gave the bird to the mother. And then the next day he called the mother, "Mom, how do you like the bird?" The mom said, "It tastes delicious." Friends, some of you are like the mom. You don't know the purpose of life. You are wasting your life. Something so precious. Your life is precious. But you are not living according to the right purpose. According to Jesus, what is our purpose? Everybody, one more time. Live out God's purpose. What's our purpose? Be salt and light. What does it mean? According to Jesus, I'm going to explain now the verses. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. If you understand Greek grammar, where the Bible comes from, the original Bible is written in the Greek language. The emphasis is this. You and you alone. That's emphatic. You are the salt of the earth. You. Not others. You. So turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you are the salt of the earth. In the time of Jesus, they understood the importance of salt and light. Today, we take salt for granted. I want you to imagine, in the days of Jesus, how important is salt? Without salt, you cannot survive. How do you preserve the meat and the fish during winter? How do you preserve food? No refrigeration. So salt is crucial for survival. In fact, wars have been fought because of salt. The word salary, the salary of the Roman soldiers, oftentimes were paid using salt. That's why it's called salary, salarium, from the Latin word salt. Liverpool, one of the greatest ports in England, Liverpool, where boats would dock and live. It was founded because of a salt mine near Liverpool. Have you heard of the city, Salzburg City? Salzburg, from the word salt. Salt is crucial. Without salt, they cannot survive. It is used for antiseptic. If you have infection, you need salt. And of all the uses, I think the Filipinos understand. It is also used for making adobo. Do you need salt when you make adobo? Yes. Do you like food that is tasteless, or you like food with a little salt? Do you like siningag na fried rice? Do you put a little salt there? Yes or no? Seasoning. How do you apply this to the Christian life? The Bible says, you are the salt of the earth. By implication, you are so important. Why? Because the world is decaying. Do not blame the meat when it rots. Do not blame the world when it is rotting. You ask yourself, if the meat is decaying, where is the salt? When the fish is spoiling, you ask yourself, where is the salt? You don't blame the fish. The very nature of the world today, it's decaying. What do I mean? Scientifically, we have progress. But morally, spiritually, we are decaying. And Jesus is saying, your role is to delay the decay, preserve the decay, if possible, reverse it, if possible. Let me give you an example. The world is decaying. People are surprised. We now have progress in terms of science, in terms of economy. People are more comfortable. People have more money. But look, suicide rate. In the 80s, around 500,000. Today, 2015, it's almost double. Why is it that people are committing suicide today more than ever before? The world is decaying. Divorce. In the 80s, it's around 500,000. By 2015, it's doubled. Friends, the only reason why it is not tripled is because many couples don't get married anymore. It is no longer in the statistics. But the married ones still separate. Something is not right. When you have more people who are depressed, when you have more people who commit suicide, the world is decaying. And the problem is, don't blame the world. Ask yourself, where is the salt? Look, incarceration. Once upon a time, in the days of the Old Testament, there was no prison cell for many years. And then eventually they had prison cells. Today, how many people are incarcerated in prison? 2.2 million. You have more people ending up in jail. Something is not right. We have more education. Technologically speaking, we're more advanced. How come people are messed up? What about HIV? My goodness, people are thinking we have conquered AIDS. My friend, look at the statistics. It's growing. By the way, the Philippines is only one of the 6 countries in the world that is growing by leaps and bounds the AIDS population. Something is not right. You have to realize the world is decaying. In the Philippines alone, teenage pregnancy is close to 14-15%. Meaning, every teenager that you meet, every 10 of them, one of them has been pregnant or a single mom. Sexual promiscuity. Before they reach the age of 20, singles today, teenagers, I'm talking about teenagers, from elementary to high school to college, over 1/3 have had premarital sex. How in the world are you going to convince your children, to convince the next generation, don't do it, when everyone is doing it? You see our challenge? The answer is not politicians. The answer is not government. The answer is, according to Jesus, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. People don't realize the impact of Christians. The impact of Christians because of Jesus throughout history is amazing. From children, women, health, education, economics, arts, music, law. You will see the impact of Jesus through Christians. For example, children, you don't realize how fortunate you are today. Because in the days of the Roman Empire and the olden days, children can be killed anytime by their parents. It is not a crime to kill your own children. In fact, when children are born, for the first 7 days, they don't even give them names. If you don't like them, put them out in the street, let them die. We fight over abortion, we think it's so bad. Friends, in the time of Jesus, it is worse. What about women? Oh, women, say hi to me, women. Hi. Women, just say hi to me. I know who you are, women, long hair, women. You know, in the days of Jesus, you are not second class. You are third class. According to Greek philosophy, which was influenced the world, Western world, a woman is less than a man, is slightly above animals and slaves. Imagine that. Women, you are to be seen, but not to be heard. Men can have concubines for pleasure, a wife for raising up children, and mistress for exhibition. Crazy values. What about health? My friend, you and I take our sanitation for granted. My wife and I, just a few weeks ago, we were in London. We visited a palace. And I discovered something about the palace in that particular place in London. There is no toilet. So I asked, how do they, you know what I mean? He said, you better listen to this. Now, this is true. I'm not giving a joke. This is true. When a king and queen, when the king invites you to a party, you are in that room. You cannot get out of the room as long as the king is present. So, if you feel like going to the toilet, what do you do? The king is there. And the party is for 4 hours. I mean, it's a long party. They eat, they drink, and you feel like going to the bathroom. What do? You cannot leave the room because the king is in the room. For the men, no problem. I discovered for the men, there's a corner. Okay? So for men, the toilet is all over the world. Okay? All over the place. Easy. But the women, what will the women do? Do you notice? In those days, the English lady, they wear their clothes with the women. Do you notice the skirt is so wide? You know why it is so wide? There are many reasons. The wider it is, that means the more prosperous you are because you put the gold lace, all the decorations, the jewelry, the pearls, you put it there, right? You want to make it as wide as possible. In fact, when you cross the hallway, you walk this way, okay? Okay? But how do they go to the toilet? Ah, you have what you call little boy. These are short boys, okay? Young boys. And they carry, like, you know, to catch the wee-wee. They go underneath the skirt and put it in between the legs of the women. Ha, that's true. And then, what happens? You give this little boy a tip, okay? Give them a tip. I said, what about the panties? They don't wear panties. Ah, that's true. And then I said, then the guide told us, sometimes they run out of little boys to be placed under the legs of the women. So what will the women do? Very simple. They keep talking, and they wee-wee. And then you begin to see the floor. My goodness. And all the men will tiptoe. You know why? Because the place will be, what, you know, one puddle there. Paddle there, I'm damning too big. You know why? It's called wee-wee. My friend, sanitation is awful. It smells. And then came the followers of Jesus. They taught people the dignity and sanctity of life. Be clean. Christians, the Bible says you are the salt and light of the world. Education, my goodness. Education. The first school started in Massachusetts in the United States. You know how that school was started? It's called the Anti-Delusion Satan Act. What is Anti-Delusion Satan Act? To prevent people from being deluded by Satan, they decided to educate everybody. It is only by education can you teach people how to read the Bible. See, they wanted people to learn how to read. It's called Anti-Delusion. Delusion, Satan's act. Do you realize the first top 10 schools, I've given this before, in the USA, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, the top 10 schools that first started in the USA are seminaries. They are there to train people to know God and to read the Bible. We have impacted the entire world. Why? The Bible says, tell your neighbor, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. We are to be a blessing. Oh, I don't have to talk about economics. My goodness, economics. The principle of private property. the principle of hard working. It's all in the Bible. Arts, music. Without Jesus, without Christianity, you won't have these kind of paintings. Do you know Beethoven, every time he writes a piece, he puts there at the bottom, for the glory of God, in Latin? Handel. Bach. My goodness. We have influenced the world. Amen? But my favorite one is the law. How we have influenced the law of the land. Have you heard of William Wilberforce? William Wilberforce was the youngest member of the British Parliament at the age of 21. And then 2 years later, he became a follower of Jesus. And he was debating, should I stay in politics or should I get out of politics? One of his mentors was John Newton. Who is John Newton? The guy who wrote Amazing Grace. He told him, don't quit politics. God raised you up for such a time like this. It was hard. Praise God, you have John Wesley, who told him also, who told him, stay in politics. God spoke to him, what do you want me to do? Be salt and light. You know what was his mission? God burdened him. Abolish this awful practice of slavery. Now, England was one of those countries who would buy and kidnap people from Africa to become slaves, resell them for a business. But he had a problem. The parliament members were controlled by a lot of business groupings. These are business people who control politicians. And business people have plantations. They need workers. So they are not about to abolish slavery. You see the problem? So he was mocked. They laugh at him. They make fun of him. Publicity-wise, in the newspaper. But see, to be salt and light does not mean you'll be popular. It's taking a stand. But you are never alone. You have a group of believers, followers of Jesus, who form a group, the Anti-Slavery Coalition, for the abolition of slavery. He filed the bill, defeated. Next year, filed the bill, defeated. After 20 years, half of the bill was passed. What was the bill? You can no longer use British merchant ship for transporting slaves. That's partial victory. He was not enough. He was not satisfied. We need to abolish slavery. What do? Salt and light. He kept doing it. After another 20 years. Can you imagine after 40 years? 3 days before he died, the British Parliament passed the most amazing law. That law abolished slavery throughout the British Empire. It cost the British government 40% of their national income to pay for the freedom of the slaves. My friend, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Amen? So praise God for people like Wilberforce. I know some of you are thinking, what can I do? I'm not a politician. My friend, if you study the grammar, it's very simple. You are the salt of the earth. The Bible tells us, everybody read, you are also the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. What do we mean? Cannot be hidden? Well, the Bible tells us the very nature of light is not for itself. It is to help people see, to reveal. The Bible says you are the light of the world. And you have to be intentional. You know why? This is what Jesus tells us. Why light is important. Everybody read. Jesus spoke to them. Everybody. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light. How come he says you are the light? Can I tell you? Because you can only be light when you have Jesus in us. Let me repeat. Without Jesus, how can you live a Christ-like life? How can you live out the beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. How can you be Christ-like without Christ? Now you understand, a true follower of Jesus is somebody who is indwelt by the Spirit of God. Christ is in you, and when people look at you, they see Christ. Friends, can people see Christ in us? See, look at this verse. I am the light of the world. He who follows me, a Christian, a true Christian, is a follower of Jesus. The problem today is there are so many so-called Christians who are not really followers of Jesus. They think a Christian is somebody who believes in the head, but whose life and heart is not transformed. The Beatitudes tell us it is not impossible. It is impossible to be a Christian and not follow Jesus. Let me repeat. You cannot call yourself a Christian if you are not a follower of Jesus. All you have is religion. To have Jesus is to follow Jesus. To have Jesus is to allow His power and His life to shine in through us, to transform us from the inside out. Let me repeat, a Christian is somebody who has Christ in you. He transforms you. He gives you the power. He gives you the desire to live like Christ. So Jesus tells us, the people of this world are walking in darkness. Look at me. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. In other words, put that in your head now. If you are the salt of the earth, the world is decaying. The world is rotting. You are the light of the world, meaning the world is in darkness. Please, do not keep complaining or keep blaming how dark, how bad the world is. You know why? Jesus tells us the world is in darkness. In fact, the Bible is very clear. Look at what the Bible says. Even if our gospel, if the good news is veiled, if people don't understand it, it is veiled to those who are perishing, to those who don't have Jesus, to those who are dying. They don't understand it. Why? In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Ladies and gentlemen, who is the God of this world? Louder. Satan. The Bible makes no apology. Satan is the God of this world. But one day, he'll be deposed. But not yet. One day. Not now. So who is the God of this world? Louder. And what is he doing? Let's read this. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What the Bible is saying is Satan has blinded our spiritual eyes. You don't understand. Let me prove to you. Why will people reject Jesus? Why will people not follow Jesus? It's because they don't see Jesus. They don't understand Jesus. It's because Christians, so-called Christians, do not reflect Jesus properly. Why will you not want Jesus if He loves you so much? If He offers you forgiveness? Why will you not want God, who wants to give you eternal life, forgiveness, peace? Why will people reject Jesus? Unless they're what? Blind. They don't see. Do you not understand? When people reject Jesus, they are not rejecting you. They don't see. They don't understand. Let me show you a short video. I showed this years ago, but perhaps some of you have forgotten this. The reality of how blind people can be, even those who are educated, but spiritually they are blind. Are you ready to see that short video? All right. The blindness of this world.
There's been a lot of talk about identity lately, but how far does it go? And is it possible to be wrong? We went to the University of Washington to find out.
Are you aware of the debate happening in Washington State around the ability to access bathrooms, locker rooms, spas based on gender identity and gender expression?
I think people should be able to have access to the facility.
I think bathrooms could and potentially should be gender neutral because there doesn't need to be a classification for differences.
I think people definitely should have the ability to go into whichever locker room they want.
I feel like at least public universities should do their best to accommodate for those who do not have a specific gender identity.
You know, whether you identify as male or female and whether your sex at birth is matching to that, you should be able to utilize the resources.
So if I told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
I'd be like, what? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'd ask you how you came to that conclusion.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would your response be?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I'd say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions just because on the outside I would assume that you're a white man.
If I told you that I was 7 years old, what would your response be?
I wouldn't believe that immediately.
I probably wouldn't believe it, but I mean, it wouldn't really bother me that much to go out my way and tell you no, you're wrong. I'd just be like, oh, okay, he wants to say he's 7 years old.
If you feel seven at heart, then then so be it. Yeah, good for you.
So if I wanted to enroll in a first grade class, do you think I should be allowed to?
Probably not, I guess. I mean, unless you haven't completed first grade up to this point and for some reason need to do that now.
If that's where you feel like mentally you should be, then I feel like there are communities that would accept you for that.
I would say so long as you're not hindering society and you're not causing harm to other people, I feel like that should be an okay thing.
If I told you I'm 6'5", what would you say?
That I would question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're 6'5".
If you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
No, I mean, I wouldn't just go like, oh, you're wrong. Like, that's wrong to believe in it. Because, I mean, again, it doesn't really bother me what you want to think about your height or anything.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
You. Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
If you thoroughly debated me or explained why you felt that you were 6'5", I feel like I would be very open to saying that you are 6'5", or Chinese, or a woman.
It shouldn't be hard to tell a 5'9 white guy that he's not a 6'5 Chinese woman. But clearly it is. Why? What does that say about our culture? And what does that say about our ability to answer the questions that actually are difficult?
Ladies and gentlemen, you take that video seriously. That's exactly what's happening today. People have lost their common sense. Nobody wants to say something that's going to offend somebody else. By being politically correct, we have become blind. And why are we blind? The Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. So don't blame the world. You ask yourself, if the world is in darkness, what's the question you must ask? Where is the light? If the world is decaying, don't blame the meat. If the meat is rotting, if the fish is rotting, don't blame the meat or the fish. Ask yourself, where is the salt? And Jesus tells us, you are the salt. So tell your neighbor, you are the salt. You are the light. You see, you are very important. You are not incidental. You have an amazing purpose after you come to know Jesus. you are salt and light. And the Bible gives us the warning. Here's the warning. Everybody read. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. How in the world can salt lose its saltiness? Chemically speaking, scientifically speaking, salt is a very stable compound, sodium chloride. But how can it lose its saltiness? Very simple. When you allow dirt, when you allow contamination, it will lose its saltiness. And then it is good for nothing. Literally good for nothing. In the early church, when people commit sin, when they stumble after coming to Christ and they go back to their old ways, the church will impose discipline to restore them. And once they are restored, you know what the person will do in the early church? They will lie down in the entrance of the church building. They lie down. They allow people to trample over them. They say, I'm no longer worthy. You know, if we practice that in today's church, I think all of us will have to lie down on the floor. The Bible is warning you, warning me, do not copy the world, or you will lose your saltiness. To be Christ-like is to be distinctly different. And many of us want to be popular. We want to be acceptable. We want to copy the world. I feel sorry for churches who wants to be so friendly with the world that people cannot see the difference anymore. To be effective, to be salt and light, you stay pure to Jesus. You preach the word of God. You don't compromise. That is how we attract the world. That is how you bring people to Jesus, by not compromising your moral life. People may not like you at first, but if you are gentle, you are kind, you are humble, you are holy, they'll be attracted to Jesus. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about hypocrisy. I'm not talking about judgmental spirit. I'm not talking about people with bad temper, fighting people. No. Look at this statement. It is not the ship in the water, but the water in the ship that sinks it. So it is not the Christian in the world, but the world in the Christian that constitute the danger. You see, God has not called us to be monk. You know, the monastery, being a monk away from the world, that is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. So be salt and light. The Bible is so emphatic. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, in those days, cities are usually on top of a hill. There's light. Do you know how precious light is? Today, you and I take salt for granted. We take light for granted. You know why? You turn on the switch, there's light. But I want you to imagine 2,000 years ago. How do you make light? How do you make fire? I was in Boy Scout. Remember, you do this. How many of you have tried making fire? Okay, those of you who tried it, is it easy or hard? Once you lit something, you don't want that light to go away. You will preserve it forever. You know why? Because it is so hard to make fire. Today, yung pusparo, match, give me the match. Electronic, remember? Today, fire is nothing. But in the time of Jesus, they understood. You are so important. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. People are in darkness. They need help. And that's why Jesus tells us, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. I mean, light is not for itself. Light is to be shown. Light is to help others. But on the lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. In other words, you don't exist for ourselves. Christians, look, listen to me. This is so huge. This is so important. Our problem is we like to always be together. Look at me. You always like to be together. When you are together, look at me, you are useless. Look at this. What is this? This is salt. Do you understand? Do you know what is this? What is this? Salt. Salt shaker. But if you are always inside the salt shaker, how can you help others? You see, many Christians, that's all they do. Prayer meeting in the morning, prayer meeting at night, every night, Bible study, or sakapunta Bible study, sakapunta CCF, sakapunta CCF. My friend, look at me. This is not the church. This is just a building where we gather together on Sunday. But Monday to Saturday, where are we? In the marketplace. Salt is to be scattered, to be useful. You must rub the salt on the meat. But if we just keep rubbing each other, excuse me, what good is it? If you put all the light together, what use is it? You are to be salt and light to the world. Not always gathering together. And I praise God. I asked permission from this friend of mine. I said, can I use your life as an example? And he said, sure. You know why? Look at this verse. Let your light shine. You have to be intentional. Let your light shine before men. In such a way, notice, in such a way, intentional, that they may see you, your good works. In other words, you are intentional to let people see your good works, not to glorify yourself. You know, some people, it's always about themselves. No, no, our purpose is what? That and glorify, everybody read, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You want to point people to Jesus. You know, one of my mission in life, can I tell you my passion in life? I want people to have a right view of who God is. One of my passion in life when I preach, I want people to know God is good. I want people to be attracted to Jesus. And I want my life to attract people to Jesus. But the sad truth is this, many Christians are not salt and light. They are suka, vinegar. The Bible does not say you're the vinegar of the earth. Hindi po tayo suka. Hindi din po tayo patis. We want, some people want to be honey. You are the honey of the world. My friend, I am not the honey of the world. I am salt and I am light. The world is decaying. The world needs you. You are not the sugar of the world, okay? Now, some Christians are like suka. You know what suka? If they're around people, people are turned off. You are vinegar. You are so sour. The Bible says you are the salt of the earth. What is the salt of the earth? You add taste to life. When you are in a group, are you somebody that inspires people? Or are you somebody that they want to run away from? Why? Every time you come around, complain and complain. Yeah? Keep grumbling. Nobody wants to be with you. I will teach you how to be salt and light. Let me give you an example, okay? You have to be intentional. And may I suggest something? You have to realize the world will not come to us. Let me repeat. As a rule, the world will not come to us. We are to go to them. Don't ever think that the world will come to CCF and knock. Can we enter CCF? We like to know who God is. That I don't think will happen a lot. Even though we have satellites all over the world, that is not the plan of Jesus. What is the plan of Jesus? You are the salt of the you are the salt of the earth. You are to go out. So what do I mean? One of my most encouraging experiences recently, when I asked permission from him, is the father-in-law of my daughter. He allowed me to use his name. Have you heard of Cecilia Pedro? Have you heard of the owner of Happy Toothpaste? Have you heard of Happy Toothpaste? Okay. By the way, it's a good product, okay? I have no choice, you know. On his 65th birthday, he invited his friends finance their plane fare, finance their stay in an island called El Nido. He scheduled me 1 year before. He said, Peter, it's my 65th birthday. I want to witness to all my friends. This is a particular group. These are business people, the Chinese Chamber of Commerce. So these are older people, lots of money. To be an officer of the Chinese Chamber, you have to donate a lot of money. I said, did you tell him I'm coming to teach the Bible? He said, yes, I told them in advance. You know, it's a miracle. Remember 2-3 weeks ago, there was typhoon, there was rain. I was hoping it would be canceled because I just arrived from Europe, but it was not canceled. So we flew on Monday. Would you believe it? When we landed in El Nido, the weather was perfect. The weather report says Palawan will be flooding. Ah, Palawan City, but not El Nido. The Lord parted the skies. And then, this is the most amazing thing. In my mind, who am I to share the gospel with this group of businessmen who really does not know me? How? Why would they be interested? They belong to other religion. You know what shocked me? And this is my realization. People are hungry for the real God. People are interested to know the reality of who is Jesus. You know, this group, you can tell now, okay? This is the sea. Why? It's dark. The nice water of El Nido. But we are on like a semi-barge. Huh? You see this barge? Captive audience. They cannot run. They cannot escape. My friend, I was so touched by Cecilio Pedro and his heart to invest his money so that his friends can hear the gospel. You know what he told them? Straight. He said, I'm 65 years old already. I do not know how many more years I have. And most of you are as old as I am, he said. And I don't know how long you will have. But I'd like you to listen. So I started teaching the Bible in a very nice, salty way. You know, salty. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Be gracious. And you know what? Praise God. They were all interested. They were listening. What's my point? People are hungry for God. But they just don't know who God is. Because they have a wrong picture of God. And that's why Christians, you may not realize this. You are the salt, you are the light of the world, and you got to point people to Jesus, not because of any fear, but because it is a privilege. You know our privilege? You and you alone are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. For example, my advice to you, how do you apply this? Be intentional. You are the salt and light of the world. On my way back from Jakarta, 3 days ago, I was seated beside somebody, and the Lord impressed upon my heart. Do you remember our goal? 33. Witness to 33. Hello? 33. This year, I challenge you, 34. Our 34th anniversary, okay? 34, between now and next anniversary, 34. Anyway, the person was beside me, and the Lord impressed upon my heart. Talk to him about Jesus. So I applied our training. I asked him, what is the greatest thing that has ever happened to you? Talk about his family, his career. Then I said, will you allow me to tell you the greatest thing that has ever happened to me? Will you allow me to share with you? Remember 1 minute testimony? I talk about how I used to be afraid of dying, no meaning, no purpose in life, emptiness. Then somebody shared with me about Jesus, how he died for me, and how my life was changed. Remember, that's only 20 seconds. You see what I'm saying? And then I asked him, would you be interested to know more about Jesus? I was shocked. He said, yes, I've been wanting to know more about Jesus. You know what hit me? People are hungry. But there's no salt. There's no light. Because we love to be gathered together all the time. My friend, this is a salt shaker. What's the use of this if we are always in this container? You are to be in the world, at home, in the office, wherever you are. You are the salt and the light. The Bible says, let your speech always be seasoned with grace as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. I made sure when I talk about Jesus, I did not attack anybody's religion. Season my speech with salt. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The Bible says you and you alone are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He's talking to the disciples. And the context is, be Christ-like. If you are not Christ-like, you cannot be salt, you cannot be light. In fact, you do more damage. You know, many Christians are not trained properly. They go to their office, they like to witness to Jesus, they like to bring people to Jesus, but they're lousy in their work, they're lousy in their performance. In fact, people in the world will tell you, I don't like to go to heaven with you. You are so lazy. I don't want to go to heaven with you. You know why? You are not attracting people to Jesus. So how can you become salt and light? Listen to me. You work hard. Not just work hard. You work above expectation. Gain their respect. The world is looking for people they can respect. And if you want to be salt and light, you have to gain their respect. You must work par excellence, beyond their expectations. And then when you talk about Jesus, they will listen. Yesterday, 2 days ago, a banker came to see me in CCF office. I requested, I said, can you just see me? I'm so busy. I cannot visit you. It's my first time to meet him. And he came from the same school where my son graduated. It's a good school. They won the basketball championship. So we have 700 things in common. So I said, friend, have you come to a point in your life where you are sure you'll go to heaven? He said, no. I said, would you be interested? Would you believe it? I asked my office, I said, give me our God's way to heaven. Because I have that booklet. Remember? So I shared with him. You know, praise God. I've never seen anybody more interested. And he prayed with us. He prayed with me to invite Jesus into his life. Now, I hope he's here this morning because I invited him and the other person. My whole point is this. People are hungry and empty. They want Jesus, the real Jesus. What is the only problem? Where is the salt? Where is the light? My challenge to all of us this week, and between now and then, will you commit to be salt and light? Yes or no? May I encourage you to take the Word of God seriously. According to Jesus, everybody, you are the salt and light of the world. You know, the smallest light can dispel the greatest darkness. So don't ever complain. Oh, the Philippines is so bad. The nation is going downhill. What can I do? I'm just a person. Listen to me. You are the most powerful influence that this world will ever have. Because you are, everybody, you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. But don't stay inside the salt shaker. Be where God has placed you to be. God placed you in strategic locations, in your family, in the office, in school. But don't forget who you are. Salt and light. And don't ever lose your saltiness by compromising to the ways of the world. Because according to Jesus, the greatest privilege is yours and mine. What's the greatest privilege? Let your light shine. For what purpose? To glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's bow our heads. If God has spoken to you for the reality that you can be honest with yourself today and you say, Peter, I am still in darkness. How can I be salt and light when I am still in darkness? And you want Jesus to be your Savior. Will you raise your hands? I want to pray for you. Higher. In other words, you are honest. You say, Peter, I think I'm in darkness. But I want Christ to be in my life. I need the light of Christ in my life. You want Jesus. Raise your hands higher. Praise God. Bring them down. Next question. You are committing to be salt and light. Understand? You want to be salt and light. You now understand your purpose in life. It is not to live for yourselves. It is not to live for each other, but it is to be salt and light, to be a blessing to the world. And you say, I will accept that challenge. Raise your hands. Praise God. Bring them down. Now, I want you to do something. To those who raised their hands the first time, you want me to pray for you because you are not yet sure. You are walking in darkness. You want the light of Christ in you. You raise your hand the first time. Will you just stand up now? I'll pray for you. Yes, praise God. Stand up. You don't have to look around. You are walking in darkness. In fact, you don't think clearly because Christ is not yet in your life and you're humble enough to say, you know what? I need Jesus. Stand up. I want to pray for you. Anybody else? Do not fight the Holy Spirit. When He's telling you, you don't have Jesus, you don't have the Son of God, and you want Jesus today, just stand up. Praise God. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. You want to be sure you have the life of Christ in you. Pray this simple prayer. Say something like this. Lord Jesus, I need you. I am in darkness. I am spiritually blind. I surrender my life to you. I invite you today. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Master. Keep standing. To those of you who are willing to commit today to be salt and light, kindly stand up. You want to be salt and light because this is what Jesus asked you to do. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I want to pray for you. Stand up. I want you to be intentional. I want you to start praying. I want you to start to be sensitive to the people around you. Perhaps they're searching, but nobody has ever told them. They're hungry for truth, but there's nobody telling them because you are always forgetting who you are, salt and light. Stand up. God has spoken to you. Praise God. Now, if you have committed to be salt and light in the past, and you want to recommit today to be salt and light, stand up also. I want to pray for you. Remember, the target this year, salt and light. For me, I want to individually share Christ, individually, to different people. To be light is to point people to Jesus and to live like Jesus, which is the greatest challenge. Anybody else? You have not been living like Jesus, but you want to be salt and light? Step one, be like Christ. Practice the 8 Beatitudes, humility, brokenness, hunger for truth. Anybody else? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this group of men and women, for their willingness to be salt and light. Lord, what a privilege it is for us and for me to be salt and light. Thank you for reminding us this is not for everybody. It is only for your people. You said you and you alone, and that's your people. Help us to be faithful by realizing to be salt and light, we have to spread ourselves into the world. We have to be out in the world, and the people will not come. You want us to go out. You want light to be strategically placed So Lord, help us to do our part. And I pray that our lives will be lived in such a way that others will come to know you because of how we live, what we do, and what we say. Help us to be a good witness for your Son, Jesus, so we can bring glory, honor to your name. I pray for everybody here today. Will you bless them? Will you help us help people to know how good you are, how wonderful you are? But please help us, Lord, to live out Christ-likeness. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.